Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We're going to talk about women, and we're going to do this message called Cool Jewel. Cool Jewel. When I was a kid growing up, one of the things my dad used to say, and I have no idea why, some of you guys may know, if you're older, you may know what this means, but my dad used to always say, like, we'd say, hey, we're going to go down and do this. He'd be like, cool, Jewel. Anybody heard that before? Nope. Okay, my dad's a weird one. Now I know. I didn't know if it's like something from the 60s and 50s, you know, that people used to say. Evidently, it was just him being dumb. And so I've got this series called About Honor that I've been really wanting to preach, and I was thinking, you know, at the end of the month, I was going to have somebody come in and preach for me at the end of the month, and I was going to take a week off, and then it fell through. What am I doing?
Dave, I don't even know what I'm thinking. I got so pumped up with this. Cool, Jewel. I mean, I got so excited, I forgot. Now I got to get my hands back to working again. So I've got this series that I'm preaching on honor, and I'm excited about it, but something fell through the end of the month, and I thought, well, what am I going to do that last Sunday? What am I going to preach? I wasn't prepared. And so yesterday I'm cutting grass, right? And as I'm cutting grass, I'm thinking about how wonderful my wife is, that she would let me get out there and cut that grass all by myself. And so I was thinking about how wonderful my wife is, and I started thinking that one of the prayers I pray over my wife is found in Proverbs chapter 31. And so I want you to look at Proverbs 31 real quick. Verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. And as I was thinking that, I thought, man, then that thought that my dad had came to my brain. It was like, she is a cool jewel. Like, she really is. Like, I love my wife. She's a great woman. She's a cool jewel. And so, and y'all can clap for her. She's not in here, so it don't matter if you clap or not. She won't hear it, so it's okay. We'll just tell her that everybody clapped. How about that? And so I was thinking about that. And then as I was thinking about that, all of a sudden, God just began to drop some things on my heart as I was out there cutting grass. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pause the honor series. I'm going to have this one message for ladies today, and then we'll get right back into the honor series. So if that's cool with you, then that's what we're going to do. If it's not cool with you, it doesn't matter because I've already got my notes set up. So we're doing it anyway, right? So here's the thing. If you look in the King James Version, which we don't often read from all the time, but in the King James Version, they won't have it on the board. But it doesn't say wife. It says a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman who can find, right? And I thought today, so often on Mother's Day, we put so much emphasis on the idea of a woman that has given birth to a child, that we exclude all other women in the room. There are women that, for whatever reason, maybe it's your job, maybe you've tried and had difficulty, maybe it's just a matter of, you know, finding the right person or the right situation, and for whatever reason, some women aren't necessarily mothers in the context of having given birth. And then if you even try to say, well, expand it to wife, well, not all women are wives, right? And thankfully for that, right, Becca? We don't want Becca to be a wife yet. She's way too young. I can agree with Randy. When she turns 40, she can probably get married, right, or start dating. Seriously. I told my daughter Emma, I said, baby, you look good as a nun. You know, you do. You can be the first nun of Gateway Family Church. And so we exclude so many people. And the fact is today, I want to speak to all women. And so men, don't sit back and go to sleep on me, because you need to learn some of this stuff, men. Let me tell you something, men. You need to read Proverbs 31. You really do. Start at verse 10, read it all the way to the end. And you need to start praying that over your wife. And if you're not married today, pray it over your future wife. And if you've already been married, you're not married, and you ain't getting married again, pray it over your kids' wives. And if you don't have any kids, pray it over my wife. Help her brother out. Right? And so men, there's a job you got to do. And we're going to talk to the men a little bit too in just a few minutes. But then also today, just to prove to you that we love women in this house. I love one specifically, but we love all women in this house. And we think everybody is a cool jewel in this house. If you are a woman today, as you leave, we will give you a special gift, and it is a really cool treat. It is a gift card to Icebergs right up here, right down the road, and you can go get dessert today after you get done with dinner. Is that cool with everybody? Yeah. All right, y'all aren't excited? I'll take them all myself. It's fine with me. Iceberg is gelato and Italian ice. And we did a $5 gift card for every woman in the room so that you can get a combination of the two. And it is what they will serve in heaven. It is. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, that will be the dessert. And if you want to be like me, get the chocolate. I mean, not the chocolate. Ooh. Get the orange Italian ice with the vanilla gelato, and it tastes like a dreamsicle. Oh, man. Lord, I need a moment right here. Can we just praise God today for gelato? Come on, somebody. I get so pumped up. I'm not even eating a lot of sugar right now, and I might take my wife over there and just pretend like it's sugar-free. So today we want to talk about all women. We want to give you a gift today when you leave, for real. That is going to happen at the very end. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But today what we want to talk about is this idea of being excellent. And being excellent is this. To be excellent means you know who you are, and you know what you're here for, and you walk that out. You know, there's lots of people in the world that know who they are, or they know why they're here. They understand they've got a purpose, they've got a destiny, but they never walk in it. They get stuck in somebody else's dream. They get stuck in somebody else's world, and they never walk out what God intended for them to walk out, and so they lose this idea of excellent. And so today we want to talk about that, what that means, and we want to talk about being a mother, because I believe being a mother is more than giving birth. It's got to be more than giving birth. If that's the case, then there's lots of people out there that are mothers, and they're giving mothers a bad name. I work at this school, and we see kids all the time that come in with bad situations. And I've shared this story before, but I met a kid one time, and when I met this kid, I began to do some research on my own, and I found out that this kid in particular had seen abuse in his home by his mother. That wasn't a mother. That was a woman who had a child. There's a difference. There's a difference. And so today we want to talk about what that means. And I believe this. I believe everybody in here is a mother. Everybody. Well, not the men. All women in here are mothers today. Look at Genesis chapter 3. I think this is interesting. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says that the man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. The man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. The interesting thing to me is up until this point, we have never seen her give birth. Why would man call woman Eve and say you are the mother of all living if he's never seen her give birth? Now, I'm sure some of you theologians can argue with me about how they were making babies all over the Garden of Eden, and that might be true. But they didn't write it down, so we don't know it. At this point, no one's ever written that she was giving birth to anybody, but man looks at her and not just gives her a name, but gives her an identity. See, back in the day, they used to give people identities, not names, right? Today, we give people names because it sounds good. Right? So Emma's middle name is Lorraine. Why? Because her great-grandmother's name is Lorraine. It has nothing to do with what Lorraine means. I don't know what Lorraine means. Lots of rain. I don't know. I don't know what it means. And so we call her that. It's not an identity. It's just a name. My wife's name is Perry. You know what that means? It means pear tree. Like, really? We're going to call her pear tree. And so it doesn't mean anything. Now, my name, My name means messenger of God because that's who I am. Right? Somebody was thinking when they named me. I'm not going to tell you what Anna's name means because it's really dirty and I can't say it from stage. But there's this identity that Adam gives Eve. It's almost like a title or a position. It's more than just a name. And up until this point, she hasn't given birth, so she's not a true mother in the sense that we would call someone a mother. So this should free up everybody in the room that says, I'm not a mom. Well, yeah, but the Bible says that through Eve, you are. You are. And so I think that's a really cool thing, and I think that's going to set us up for the rest of the message today. And so if that's the case, if a mother isn't necessarily someone who gives birth, then what is a mother? What is a mother? Well, let's give you a couple of points today, and then we're going to get you out of here. So number one, mothers are life givers. So if we look back at that verse, can we look back at Ephesians, Galatians, Deuteronomy, Genesis 3:20? It says, the man called his name Eve because she's the mother of all living. That word Eve there means, the actual word Eve in the Hebrew means life-giving. Life-giving. So to be a mother, you have to be life-giving, not life-taking. Now, if you've ever been through our small group called Life, then you will kind of have an idea of what we're talking about here. But many of you know that there are people in your life that are life-sucking, right? You get around some of these people and they just suck the life out of you. Right? They just come in and they're so negative, they're so down, they're always down on you, and they suck the life right out of you. I hate it whenever I come into somebody and I have a great idea. I'm like, hey, we're gonna do this. And not in a critical way, not in a way of trying to help, but the first thing someone says is, oh, that's a terrible idea. And they don't even think about, you know, like, oh, it could be a good idea if you work on it. Oh, it's a terrible idea. Have you ever had that at work? Ever had that at home? Or maybe some of you may have grown up with family members that were just life-taking. They were always negative, always hard. And, you know, there's this idea of discipline and encouragement that go hand in hand. If you encourage a child without disciplining a child, then the child becomes a brat. But if you discipline a child without encouraging the child, then that becomes abuse. That becomes life-taking. And sometimes we do that to people. We become life-taking. But a mother is life-giving. A mother is life-giving. And I believe that comes through our words most of all. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Here's the thing. It's important for you to understand that what you say matters. Ladies, what you say matters. And if you're a woman in the room, it's not about what you say to your kids. It's about what you say to your husband. It's about what you say to your friends. It's about what you say to your boss. Some of you aren't married, and you've got a boss. Some of you aren't married, you've got coworkers. Think about, am I life-giving with my words towards my boss or my coworkers? Am I life-giving with my words to my husband, to my ex-husband, to my future husband? Am I life-giving with my words to my children and my children's friends? We've got to constantly be giving life. And if you're a woman today, that's part of who you are. That's part of your DNA. As an Eve, you should be life-giving. You should be life-giving. The next thing that I believe that all mothers should be is nurturers. And not just a nurturer, but a nurturer of potential. A nurturer of potential. And let me give you the word nurture here, because my wife, when I was going over my notes with her last night, she said, but I don't really feel like I'm a nurturing kind of person. And she said, I don't, you know, like, and so I think in her brain, and maybe some of you other people think this way too, in her brain, to nurture means to kind of like baby and coddle and, you know, but it's not that way at all. Look at the definition of nurture. It's the process of caring for and encouraging the growth or development of someone or something. The process of caring for and encouraging the growth of someone or something. And I told Perry real quick, she's a kindergarten teacher. I said, babe, you are a nurturer. Look at what you do for a living. You care about the process of making sure that these kids are developed. that they come in one way and they leave a different way. Isn't that our motto here? We want you to come in one way and leave a different way. So as a mother, as an Eve in this room today, no matter, you know, kids, husband, whatever, doesn't matter, single, doesn't matter. What matters is, am I willing to nurture the potential that I see in other people? Can I speak life over you? And then can I see the potential in you and nurture that, encourage the growth of that potential? I want you to even notice this. In a couple months, whenever Father's Day is, I don't know when it is, but eventually it'll happen. What month is it in? June? Man, I got to rearrange my schedule. I thought it was July. And so whenever Father's Day comes, I'm going to be preaching a message about men that I think is really cool. We're going to tie ourselves back into who Christ is and his identity. And one of the things about a man is a protector. Naturally, men, we are protectors, right? But women want to nurture potential. Men protect potential. Women nurture potential. And here's the thing that I notice in the Bible is I notice this. Whenever Herod is killing all the babies, when Jesus was little, Herod's killing all the babies, God speaks to Joseph, Jesus' father, and says, get him out, take him to Egypt, protect him. Right? Okay? Let's rewind back to the Old Testament in Exodus. Pharaoh is killing all the babies. Now, can you see the pattern that Satan has here? When Satan sees that there's potential in you, that there's a seed in you, and we'll talk about what that seed is in a minute, but when Satan sees the potential is coming for a Savior, for a difference maker, he says, let's kill them all. Let's wipe out all the seed, right? And so Satan does it in the Old Testament. He does it in the New Testament. He's doing it today with abortion. I believe abortion is the plan of the devil to destroy the seed, to destroy the potential. I can't imagine how many Billy Grahams or whoever have been killed through abortion, right? And that's the plan of the enemy. That's the plan of the enemy. And I think here, if you look in Moses' story, so in Jesus' story, he uses the man to protect, but in the Moses story, it's different because in the Moses story, he uses the mom to nurture. The Bible says that the mother took the baby, put him in a basket, sent him down the river, right? We all know that part of the story. But then the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby, but Pharaoh's daughter didn't have a child of her own at that point or, you know, at that season of her life. So she wasn't able to nurse the baby. So she needed somebody to nurse the baby, to nurture the baby, to develop the baby. So who does God bring back into the picture? Moses' mom. Why? Because women, as Eve, are nurturers of potential. There was potential in Moses to be great and to do great things. And it was a woman that came alongside to nurture. I believe today, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and it broke my heart. I said, man, what kind of dreams do you have? What is your dream in life? And he said, man, you know, I've been through so much and I've had issues that have, you know, nothing bad, nothing sinful, but just where he tried to do something for the Lord and it didn't work. It failed. And he just said, I don't know that I have a dream right now. Broke my heart. And here's the thing. How many people are walking through life right now that have tons of potential, but they're so broken, they're so hurt, maybe from their own failure, maybe from the failure of others or the abuse of others, or maybe just things didn't work out the way they thought they would, and they're so broken and they're so hurt, and they need somebody that will not only see the potential and speak life into that thing, but also help nurture and develop it. When I was coming up, I had many mothers, and I still do. Many mothers that would take me aside and speak life over me and begin to nurture the potential that they saw in me. One of those ladies was Sarah Wilson, and I always talk about Sarah, but it's because she's special, right, to me. And here's the thing about Sarah Wilson that I've always loved, and there's been other ladies that have done this in my life as I've come up. But one of the things that she's done is in moments of my life when everybody else was criticizing me, when everybody else was telling me I wasn't a good preacher, I couldn't lead the church, and people were telling me, oh, you do okay and you're funny, but we can't wait till your dad preaches. Right? That's funny now. Some of y'all laugh because it is funny. But it wasn't funny then. But I remember Sarah Wilson would always come up to me and she would say, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. And I would think, I know you're lying to me because I know my dad's better. But she saw potential in me as a young minister, and she began to nurture that and develop that and speak life into me. And it was like having a small fire and someone blowing on the fire and watching it expand inside of me. And I found confidence because somebody believed in me and somebody decided to nurture the gift or nurture the potential. Another one is my wife. I would come home sometimes disappointed. I would come home sometimes discouraged. And my wife, she's not my mama, right? Fellas, our wives are not our mamas. And don't ever mistake that. Trust me. If you ever accidentally call her mom, you know it's bad, right, around the house. And I've done that before. Sometimes you see your mom, and then the first thing you see is your wife, and you're like, hey, mom, and then you're dead, right? Then you just die right there. And so, but my wife, operating as an Eve, has spoken things into my life and begin to blow on that fire, begin to minister to that potential inside of me to nurture and develop. And I believe today, as a woman, that is part of your job. It's part of your DNA. And you may say, but I don't have a kid or I don't have a husband. I'm not Sarah. I'm not related to Sarah. I'm not related to her. I mean, we see each other once a week, twice a week. Right? We're not neighbors. So it doesn't matter the distance. It doesn't matter the relationship. It matters what you do with what's inside of you. And what's inside of you is to be an Eve. And to speak life. And to nurture potential. Let me give you one more thought. I actually have two more thoughts. The third thing is that mothers are determined. In other words, they don't give up. Right? And listen, that doesn't start when you have a baby. That starts right now. And I think that's really most women. You know, to sound good, I'm going to say determined. There's some other words I could say. Stubborn. There's some other words I could say about women too. But here's the thing. One time, whenever I had surgery, and it was a heart surgery, and so I had to take some time off from working out and exercising. But whenever I came back to this gym that I'd been going to, they had changed some of what they were doing, and they had adopted at that time a CrossFit class. And you may not know what CrossFit is, but at the time it was very intense as far as lots of different exercises, back to back to back to back, and you are running through like a gauntlet of exercises that you did for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever the case was. And so we would get into these exercises, and the class would be co-ed. It'd be men and women. And so I would get in there, and I was talking to the guy that was running it, the coach that was running it. And as we were talking about the difference between the men and the women, because I noticed that every time we did a timed event, the women would beat the men. And I was like, how is that possible? You know what I mean? What's happening? I'm looking at both of these. These men are big strapping dudes, man. How are they winning? And he said, because women are more determined in endurance. He said, now if we just lined up strength versus strength, he said, the men would win. He said, but whenever you have to do endurance and someone has to be willing to push past pain, he said, women beat men every time. And he said, because they have a higher pain tolerance and they're more determined to go after and not quit and not give up just because they get a little sore. And so then I realized real quick to stop taking that class. But I want to show you a couple of women in the Bible that I think are interesting. And ladies, I don't want you ever to let anybody look down on you for being determined. As a matter of fact, some of you need to grab that mantle back up. Some of you have been looked down on for being determined in your job, in your home. You've been looked down on for being determined for something, and you say, well, I'll just quit doing that. I'll just back down. No, 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 no. You got to pick that back up. We need you to be determined. Because look at what the Bible says. In Luke chapter 18, we're not going to read all these, but Luke 18, 1 through 8, Jesus uses a woman to illustrate how to pray. He said there was a widow who was determined. The Bible calls her the persistent widow, right? She's so determined. Jesus says, look at this woman. Look at this Eve if you want to know how to pray. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, that Jesus used a woman to illustrate God's determination to look for you and seek after you. He said there was a woman who lost a coin and flipped her whole house upside down on the inside until she found the coin. And that's what God is like. He used a woman to show persistence. He's a woman to show determination. And then in Luke 8, 43 through 48, the Bible talks about a woman who had some kind of issue, some kind of sickness for 12 years. And the Bible says she was so determined to get a healing that she pushed past all the crowd. She crawled through the crowd of people that were all around Jesus just to touch the hem of his garment so that she could be healed. She was persistent. She was determined. She was willing to push past everything. Women, that's part of who you are. You're life-giving. You're a nurturer of potential, and you're determined. And the reason I'm telling you that determined part is because, like I said before, sometimes we've allowed things to shut us down. And what you've got to do is pick that back up. You've got to pick that back up, and you've got to say, you know what? I may have not been life-giving this whole time, but I am determined today to start something fresh and new. Maybe I haven't been nurturing the potential in the people around me. Maybe I've been waiting on a man to validate me. Maybe I've been waiting on a child. Maybe I've been waiting on this or on that. But today, no matter what my station is, no matter what my position in life is, I will be determined to be the Eve that I'm called to be. The last thought is this, and this is where we're about to end. But a mother is a position. A mother's a position. It's not a byproduct of sex. So many times in this world, we label someone a mother because she has had the ability to have intercourse and produce a child. Well, guess what? A cow can do that same thing. A dog can do that same thing. It doesn't make you special or better than any other women because you can do that. Right? And I know none of the women here think that. I say the same thing to men. Being able to produce a child doesn't make you a father, right? Father is a position. Mother is a position in life that God has established. It's not a byproduct. And I want you to look at this in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. This is so cool to me. Judges chapter 5 tells us the story of a woman named Deborah. Actually, Judges chapter 4 tells us about Deborah. And Deborah was a leader in Israel. But look at what verse 5 says. It says, "The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel." That word arise there, means to step into a position. In other words, she said the people were dying. The people weren't worshiping God. Everybody was falling apart. Until I, a woman, stepped into the position of mother over Israel. It didn't say she gave birth to anybody. It didn't say she was anything special about all that. It just said, I stepped into a position called mother. And today we need to transition, not me, you, women need to transition, right, from woman to mother. You need to step into your position. Why? Because we need you in this house. We need you here. Where would I be today personally if it wasn't for Perry, if it wasn't for Sarah, if it wasn't for some other ladies that spoke into my life? Where would I be personally? Right? I bet every man in this room, every leader in this world can say there are women that have spoken into my life that have changed who I am, shaped who I am. But what if women decided that I'm just going to stay a woman? I'm just going to identify myself with how I was born as a female. Let me show you that. Throughout the story of Genesis 2 and 3, the Bible calls a woman, woman. Eve doesn't have a name, right? She doesn't have a name. She is just woman. Now, Adam gets a name. Adam gets a name, and men, we kind of get a little puffed up and prideful until we realize that the word Adam just means dirt, and then we realize we're just dirt bags, right? And God looked at us, He said, hey, there's a dirt bag. And so then He gave us, you know, that was us, and then Eve got life giver, you know, and I'm like, God, this is not fair. It's not fair. Women get to be life givers, and we're dirt bags. So it is what it is. You know, you just own it. So, but here's the thing. So far, she's called woman, woman, woman. And then all of a sudden in Genesis 3:15, something happens. Something switches in Genesis 3:15. And God is speaking to Satan. He's speaking to the serpent, right? And here's what God says. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring, or in the Hebrew, seed, and her offspring, or seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. All of a sudden, we see a switch that happens when God says, there's something special about this lady here. There's something special about this woman. She will produce a seed that will destroy the devil. She will produce a seed that will destroy the works of the enemy. And here's the thing. When Adam saw that, that's where you can fast forward 5 verses. And Adam said, ooh, I can't call you woman anymore. You are now Eve. You are now life-giving. I don't know what kind of life you're going to produce, but whatever it is, it's going to defeat that serpent. Whatever it is, it's going to be amazing. And Adam spoke over her that she would be Eve. Let me just end this morning with this last. I got a scripture I want to share with you. And I want you, you don't have this in your notes today, but I want you to go to Luke. And I didn't tell the guys in the back either, but we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And I just want to look at that very quickly. And I want to look at the story of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. I read part of this earlier. It said this, and he came to her, the angel came to Mary, and said to her, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Now listen to what Mary says. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Let me pause for a second. This is where we find ourselves. Ladies, this is where you find yourself today. Some of you. As you look at that verse and you can identify with Mary, because really at this point she's not married either. She's engaged, but she's not married. And the angel says, you're going to give birth to something great. You're going to give birth to a Savior. You're going to give birth to a King. And she says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm not even married. I'm not a mom, right? I'm not that person yet. I don't even know if this is going to work out with Joseph. I mean, he's cute, but I don't know, you know? And that's what she's thinking. That's what she's thinking. And that's where a lot of you may find yourself today. You may find yourself in that position of, hey, I'm not married. This is a great sermon about Eve, but I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm not in a position. My kids are grown and they're gone. I tried, but you know, things didn't work out. I'm not a mom. I'm not a mother. Neither was Mary. I want you to look at what the angel said to her, verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be called Holy, the Son of God. I think it's important for you to understand today that as a woman, as an Eve, you're always pregnant. You're always pregnant. You may say, yeah, but I'm not really pregnant. No, you're more pregnant spiritually than you are physically. Why? Because there's something great inside of you. There's someone great inside of you. Jesus is in you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a river of living water that wants to flow out of you. But the more you contain it, the less people get the life from it. And God's saying, I want you to be an Eve. I want you to transition from being a woman to being an Eve. Oh, your name might be Sherry. Your name might be Ola. Your name might be Becca. But I've called you Eve. And through Adam, I've spoken over you that you will be life-giving, not life-taking. You will be a nurturer. You will be determined. I'm speaking some things over you in a position, not just a byproduct. I want to read this today. This isn't something I wrote, it's something I found. I just want to read it to you this morning. I think it's really cool because I believe you're always pregnant with life. You're always pregnant with purpose. You're pregnant with a powerful seed that will destroy the devil. But I found this. A lady wrote this. She had struggled for a lot of years going to Mother's Day services. And she said, I skip Mother's Day services at my church so often because I'm not a mom and it's just uncomfortable and it's weird. And so she wrote this really cool article about how that feels and some different things. But here's what she said. She said, there may be a lot of good and difficult reasons you may not have children of your own, but don't ever forget that you are indeed a source of life to the world. You possess the ability to nurture others, and if you free yourself to do so, you will be amazed at how fertile you actually are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.